Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and on today's show, we are going to discuss generics and collections in Java 6. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. All right, let's get started. A Java collection is a flexible data structure that can hold heterogeneous objects where the elements may have any reference type. Please note that, for the purposes of this discussion, collections refer to instances of the collection class or to their descendants, such as list, ArrayList, or array. The Java Collections APIs provide Java developers with a set of classes and interfaces that makes it easier to handle collections of objects. In a sense, collections work a bit like arrays, except that their size can change dynamically, and they have more advanced behavior than arrays. It is your responsibility, however, to keep track of what types of objects your collections contain. As an example, consider adding an integer to a collection. Since you cannot have collections of primitive data types, you must convert the integer to the corresponding reference type, for example, capital int integer, before storing it in the collection. Now, when the element is extracted from the collection, an object is returned, and that must be cast to an integer in order to ensure type safety. Well, all this makes Java programs unnecessarily hard to read and maintain, and makes them more likely to fail with runtime errors. When you take an element out of a collection, you must cast it to the type of the element that's stored in the collection. Well, besides being inconvenient, this is also unsafe. The compiler does not check that your cast is the same as the collection's type, so the cast can fail at runtime. Now, if the compiler could keep track of the element type, you would not need to keep track of what collections you have, and the need for casting would be eliminated. This would make programs easier to read and maintain, and less likely to fail at runtime. Java 6 has added a new core language feature known as generics, also known as parameterized types, that provides compile time type safety for collections and eliminates the drudgery of casting. This effort of adding generics to Java was led by Sun Microsystems as Java Specification Request 14 under the Java community process. Generics were one of the most frequently requested language extensions to Java. The motivation for adding generics to the Java programming language stems from the lack of information about a collection's element type, the need for developers to keep track of what type of elements collections contain, and the need for casts all over the place. Using generics, a collection is no longer treated as a list of object references, but you would be able to differentiate between a collection of references to integers and a collection of references to bytes. A collection with a generic type has a type parameter that specifies the element type to be stored in the collection. Generics provides a way for you to communicate the type of a collection to the compiler so that it can be checked. Once the compiler knows the element type of the collection, the compiler can check that you have used the collection consistently and can insert the correct casts on values being taken out of the collection. Suppose, for example, you were to create a simple list and add an integer to that list. When you called get to retrieve that value, you would have to cast the retrieved value back to an integer. The casting is safe, as it will be checked at runtime, but if you cast to a type that is different from, and not a supertype of, the extracted type, then a runtime exception, class cast exception, will be thrown. Using generics, the list would be created using a parameterized type, say integer and angle brackets, between the word list and the empty parentheses. This indicates to the Java compiler that only integers may go onto the list, and as a result, only integers may come off the list. Since only integers can come off the list, there is no need to cast the value returned from get to an integer. If you were to assign an extracted element to a different type, the error would be at compile time instead of at runtime. This early static checking increases the type safety of the Java language. Generics enable more compile time type checking, and therefore mismatch errors are caught at compile time rather than at runtime. When you see a code of type in angle brackets, read it as of type. Code using generics is clearer and safer. It eliminates unsafe casts and eliminates a number of extra parentheses. More importantly, you move part of the specification of a method from a comment into its signature, so the compiler can verify at compile time that type constraints are not violated at runtime. Because program compiles without warnings, we can state with certainty that it will not throw a class cast exception at runtime. The net effect of using generics, especially in large programs, is improved readability and robustness. When you declare a variable C to be of type collection angle bracket string angle bracket, that tells us something about the variable C that holds true whenever and wherever it's used, and the compiler guarantees it, assuming the program compiles without warnings. A cast, on the other hand, tells us something that the programmer thinks is true at a single point in the code, and the virtual machine checks whether the programmer is right only at runtime. You may create your own generic classes, interfaces, and methods. Generics are implemented by the Java compiler as a front-end conversion called erasure, which is the process of translating or rewriting code that uses generics into non-generic code. That is, it maps the new syntax to the current JVM specification. In other words, this conversion erases all generic type information. All information between angle brackets is erased. For example, linked list angle bracket integer angle bracket simply becomes linked list. Uses of other type variables are replaced by the upper bound of the type variable, for example, object, and when the resulting code is not type correct, a cast to the appropriate type is inserted. You should use generics wherever you can. The extra effort in generifying code is well worth the gains in clarity and type safety. It's straightforward to use a generic library, but it requires some expertise to write a generic library or to generify an existing library. There is one caveat. You may not use generics if you intend to deploy the compiled code on a pre-5.0 virtual machine. Now, where do the collections themselves come in? Collections provide a regular, standardized interface for manipulating groups of objects in an orderly manner. Need a grouping of objects all the same type? There's an array. Need an ordered grouping of objects? There's a sorted set. Need to be able to store a set of key-value pairs? There's a hash map, and so on and so on. The first advantage of the Java Collections framework is a consistent and regular API. This API is codified in a basic set of interfaces, collection, set, list, and map. The collection interface contains basic collection operations such as adding, removing, and testing for membership or containment. Any implementation of a collection, whether it's one provided by the Java Collections framework or whether it's one of your own creations, will support one of these interfaces. Because the collections framework is regular and consistent, you can learn a large portion of the frameworks just by learning these interfaces. Both set and list implement the collection interface. The set interface is identical to the collection interface, except for the fact that it has an additional method called toArray, which converts a set into an object array. The list interface also implements the collection interface, but that provides many accessors that use an integer index into the list. For instance, get, remove, and set all take an integer that affects the indexed element in the list. The map interface is not derived from the collection, but it does provide an interface similar to the methods in the Java hash table. Keys would be used to put and to get values. The last basic interface in the Java Collections framework is the map. This interface is implemented with two new concrete implementations, the tree map and the hash map. The tree map is a balanced tree implementation that sorts elements by key. In fact, the tree map and tree set classes provide easy means to maintain a sorted set of objects. You can even design the mechanism to compare two objects in your collection. Alternatively, you may implement natural ordering of a class by making the class implement the comparable interface. This technique adds a single compareTo method to a class. This method would then return 0 for equal objects. It would return less than 0 if the first parameter is less than the second, or would return greater than 0 if the first parameter is greater than the second. In Java 1.2 and later, the string class, but not string buffer, would implement the comparable interface. Any comparable object may be placed in a sorted collection. The collection order would be maintained automatically by the collection. You can also sort lists by handing them to the collections class. One static sort method would take a single list parameter that would specify a naturally ordered class, that is, one that implements the comparable interface. And a second static sort method would take a comparator object for other classes that do not implement the comparable interface. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation. I look forward to your comments and questions. You can email your input to me by using the question box found on this page. I will be answering your questions and replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.